the Irish is being packed and shipped to a little town in South Dakota whose luck may have just run out.
Welcome to Fade In on the Siskoid Cinema Feed, the show that looks at famous actors and directors' first feature film, looking for that spark of future stardom. Was it there from the start? I'm your host, Siskoid, and my guest on this inaugural episode is former Lonely Hearts panel member and horror film expert, that's going to be important, Marty Najjar. Hi, Marty.
Hello, I'm here. Did we stop Lonely Hearts?
Yeah.
Former?
That's why you haven't been getting calls.
Yeah, it's been like 6 years.
At least six. Yeah, it's probably 6 years. Yeah, I don't know.
I thought we were going to start up any day.
You're no longer a lonely heart?
No.
You went and got married with Ohad Mornat's Nat?
Yeah.
So, that's... Yeah.
Show's dead?
There's Fern and I are still lonely.
I guess the show couldn't survive, just you two.
So that's too many married people.
Yeah, I guess so.
But today, it's a show about movies. You've been on a show about movies before, right?
Yeah, we did an Oscar recap and end of year talk, I think. And yeah, I think that's it.
Those are actually to be found on the Siskoid Cinema feed.
Yeah.
I retconned them into the feed. Yeah. But today, we're talking about Fade In. And fading into view today is Jennifer Aniston. Rising to stardom in the popular sitcom Friends as Rachel Green, a role that earned her several primetime Emmys, Golden Globes, and Screen Actors Guild nominations and awards between 1994 and 2004, she has become one of the world's highest paid actresses. I think it's safe to say that she's the friend who made out the best. She traded that show's popularity in for a movie career, mostly rom-coms and light comedies, several times opposite Adam Sandler, including the murder mystery series. Highlights include Office Space, The Iron Giant, We're the Millers, Horrible Bosses, and Cake, a drama for which she was nominated for a Golden Globe. Today, she's getting rave reviews playing a news anchor megastar in The Morning Show, which she produces. But where did it all begin, Marty?
It begins in 1993's Leprechaun.
Now, if you haven't seen Leprechaun, you should. The jury's out. But if you haven't seen Leprechaun, here's how it goes. A horrific leprechaun goes on a rampage after his precious bag of gold coins is stolen. He uses all of his magical destructive powers to trick, terrorize, and kill anyone who is unlucky enough to hinder his relentless search. In a frantic attempt to survive the wrath of the leprechaun, Tori, played by Jennifer Aniston, and her friends scramble to find the only weapon known to kill this Irish monster, a four-leaf clover. It's like sometimes the guest will be interested in the star, but sometimes it's more about the movie itself. Marty, am I right in thinking that you're of the latter persuasion?
Oh, 100%. This is my bread and butter right here. Like shitty horror movies. This is what I grew up on. This is the stuff I loved. Like, this is a movie I watched many times when I was like a young teenager. This was one. It was available in every rental store you could find. And yeah, and to be honest, Jennifer Aniston, I haven't watched.
You haven't even watched Friends.
Friends? I've seen Friends because, yeah, I'm a product of the 90s. So, like, I've seen Friends, but it's not something I watch. So, my Jennifer Aniston experience is minimal.
Right.
Yeah.
You didn't know she was a voice in The Iron Giant?
No. I guess she plays the mom, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the mom.
And the mom, yeah. But nobody's calling
Office Space is one of your favorite movies?
Yeah, Office Space is great, but that's a tiny role, too. It's not like a big role. She's there for, like, I don't know, 10 minutes.
So, I watched Friends, obviously.
Yeah.
First run.
Everyone did. Like, I can't say I didn't watch Friends because...
Yeah. When this started, I was out of university. So, it was just, like, everywhere, right?
Because Friends was, what, 94.
It's the year after this.
Wow. So, it's like, that's a big year for her because this came out and she was probably already filming Friends.
Possibly.
By the time...
Or, no, this was her... This was her audition reel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched Friends the whole way through every week and in syndication, right? It was running every day. And I've had roommates who were watching it repeatedly through the 90s and early 2000s. So, obviously, I've seen Jennifer Aniston in things.
Yeah.
But I didn't gravitate towards her movies.
No.
Once she made the leap. So I watched a bunch of them in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we talked about that off podcast, about all the Jennifer Aniston movies you watched. And I was like, I have not seen any of these. Like a couple.
You've seen Horrible Bosses.
I've seen Horrible Bosses. Yeah. Rumor Has It, I remember.
Okay. That's not good. That wasn't good.
I watched one of her Adam Sandler ones where they go on vacation. That's all I remember. And they fake a relationship.
Right.
Which is probably all of them. I don't know.
I forget the name. And then she gets back to him with him to get in the murder mystery stories, which are happening now on Netflix. So I watched those. I watched those Horrible Bosses. I watched a couple of The Switch. A lot of Jason Bateman ones. Right. That Christmas Party, Office Christmas Party. Terrible. That one's terrible. But she doesn't have a big role in those. I watched enough to understand what the brand was.
Yeah.
So that I could do this.
Her brand is not anything, any type of movie I would willingly go see or watch.
Yeah. It's,
I've given up on Adam Sandler.
It's pretty restrained in the murder mystery
things. I love The Sandman, but his newer comedies I can do without.
I like her when she's doing two things. When she's being funny, which she can totally do.
Yeah.
After 10 years on Friends. I mean, she was sort of, it seemed like she was going to play the straight person compared to some of the other neurotics. But she's just as neurotic on the show. So she can do comedy. And when she does comedy and when she also does someone who's confident, like early roles, they were playing her as someone, she was often cast as someone who's wet behind the ears, you know, like more of, not a damsel in distress, but it's not those kinds of movies. But when she's a very confident person in the movie, I think that works to her advantage. So like those murder mystery things. With Adam Sandler. She
plays the competent one.
He's the schlubby cop and she's the hairdresser who really loves mystery novels. And then...
That's what those movies are about.
And they become like, it's like the Thin Man. They go to Europe on a vacation and a murder happens, or several murders happen, and they help solve it.
Okay.
And at the same time, they're being framed for it.
Just like Poirot.
Except the framing. And the second movie is the same.
Okay.
Now they're private eyes together.
Oh.
And a murder happens in Europe. And they're again, they're framed for a murder or a kidnapping. They're framed for it. And so on. So they're actually pretty fun for what they are.
Yeah, okay.
I would say. So I will say I do like Jennifer Aniston's work.
Oh.
But she's very often in movies that are a little insubstantial.
Because from hearing you talk, I had the impression you're like, well, she makes shit comedies that I don't like.
But. She's in a lot. Well, I mean, if you put her and Jason Bateman, they're often together in the movie, in a dumb comedy, it almost elevates it.
Yeah.
I think those are like performers that I want to watch. Whatever happens, I kind of care for them. But at the same time, I can tell like the level of humor is not necessarily for me.
Yeah.
It's not my type of movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do enjoy her performances in those films.
Yeah, so she's good.
Is she good in Leprechaun? That's what we're going to find out. Not to say that Leprechaun is her first work. It's important to say that since this is the first episode of Fade In, we should talk about the rules a little bit.
Right.
Before Leprechaun, she had a TV career and was a regular on two failed series. One was a family sitcom called Molloy, which was also starring a pre-Blossom Mayim Bialik.
Oh.
And the other lasted like six episodes.
So what was the concept of Molloy?
It looked like a family sitcom.
Okay.
And
the Molloy family.
And Blossom was the younger child, but the focus of the story.
Okay.
That was what it looked like. And she was like the teenage. Jennifer Aniston was like the teenage
The bratty
sister.
Teen.
And the other was a Ferris Bueller TV series that no one remembers. Yeah. Well, we remember that it exists, but not
I don't remember it existing, but I've seen like the one episode because on YouTube randomly, and yeah, it's strange.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
She was in that. I guess she plays a sister in that one. She appeared in two movies as well. The notoriously bad Mac and Me from 1988.
Classic.
She would have been 19 at that point. And so that's an uncredited role as a bystander.
Okay.
So we're not going to do this on Faden.
Yeah.
Because you can't really tell a person's career.
No,
from that.
I think she was in like the weird scene in the Not McDonald's.
The Not McDonald's.
I think she's in that for
the McNotnals.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count. And she was also in a TV movie called Camp Cucamonga. Unless a TV movie is really iconic, those also don't count.
Yeah, TV movies. Yeah, they
I almost watched it. It's on YouTube.
Oh.
A lot of these TV movies are just on YouTube. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
She's one of many. Like, young Urkel is in there. There's a lot of people.
Wow.
Anyways, so for better or worse, Leprechaun is her first real claim to fame.
Good for her.
So this is a movie that also stars Warwick Davis as the Leprechaun.
The great actor.
So it's got a big name attached to it.
Yeah. It's funny that, he was the biggest name in that, probably.
Yes. He had been Willow. He'd been in Star Wars movies, you know.
Willow at that time? Yeah.
Yeah. So he'd worked with George Lucas, and here he is, Leprechaun.
Yeah. You know, it's funny to see because I guess those are the roles he had to get back in the day, but I think he loves it. It's just one of those roles he loves playing it because he's played it like 8 times now.
This is a long-running franchise.
Yeah. They're still cranking him out. Like, a new one came out like last year.
And it's still Warwick Davis playing him?
I don't think... I'm not sure, to be honest. Because I jumped off the train after a while, like... After he went to space, I was like, okay, I was just jumping the shark and going to space, you know? Yeah, I think he really loves playing that character. I think for him, as an actor, that just must be so fun to play. Like, you can be evil, you can be whatever, you can be creepy, you can do anything.
Humor, there's a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
And a lot of running around.
Yes.
I felt like the Leprechaun had a lot of running to do.
Yeah, it's funny because I haven't seen these movies in a long time, and rewatching it is like a weird memory thing because, like, oh, because even this one, his powers as a creature is very tame.
Oh, it gets bigger?
After a while, he's like the master of illusions. He makes people appear, and it's actually a lawnmower, and so the person will try to hug the person and
lawnmower themselves.
Lawnmower themselves and stuff like that. But in this, he was more like, he could do voices.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It's in there because he's mimicking people's voices.
He can build go-karts.
Apparently.
He can build a go-kart really fast and scratch people. Like,
he snaps somebody's neck and it's like... The violence is very personal.
Yeah.
It's not like...
At one point, he just puts the hand on someone's face and it
like really... He starts to rip off the face. I thought he was going to...
But after a while, after the series goes on, he gets, I guess, more powerful... It's kind of explain the script if you care about the lore of these movies.
Is the Leprechaun horror franchise considered a good one?
Oh, that's a big question.
Well, that's why I ask. I only ask the big questions.
Because I'm a sucker for, you know, long-running horror franchises. So to say it's a good one, yeah, it's a great one because it keeps going and it's going to space. And like, after a while, you know. Why not go the extra mile? And...
If it's good enough for Jason.
Yeah, you know, Jason went to space. Everyone went to space. And eventually Critters went to space. Critters came from space,
right. Yeah. Now, this is sort of a subgenre, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, well, we pointed that out because it's a funny thing of like, back then, that's how horror movies were made. Something became popular and then everyone ripped it off. Leprechaun's in a weird camp of like, it's kind of Nightmare on Elm Street because he's a killer, but magical.
Mm.
But it's also the subgenre of little killer dudes. Once Gremlins came out, we started seeing a bunch of critters killing things.
Critters.
Ghoulies. Mm. Troll. Demonic toys. Master. There was like a slew of like, if your horror movie had a little guy killing people... It would get greenlit. I'm pretty sure Leprechaun is in that camp.
Even though it's kind of later than...
Yeah. Child's Play is another one. Right. Little guy killing people.
It's weird because Gremlins is kind of family friendly.
Yeah.
And then it spawns all of these gruesome... Well, yeah. Really, I say gruesome, but then, you know, I remember watching that Critters 2 is maybe the one I've seen. And it's not very serious. So it feels like a lot like Gremlins or like this.
Yeah.
Leprechaun doesn't take itself very seriously. It's like a horror comedy.
Yeah, all the other little critter movies are like Gremlins without the Spielberg whimsy.
Right.
You know?
And then everybody else is doing also a sort of comical...
They have to... like that was the thing, because Nightmare on Elm Street was also... The killer quipped, made jokes and stuff. It wasn't just like Jason who didn't say anything and killed you. Your killer had to be kind of funny.
Or Michael Myers.
Right, yeah.
They're just forces of... They're just silent forces of death. Yeah.
Like, every little creature had to make a joke. The Ghoulies started making jokes and kidding around after a while. Doesn't make any sense, but they did it. And it's the same thing with Warwick Davis in here. Makes little puns. Lots of puns.
They also... One of the things I found interesting that I didn't remember about... I'd seen it before. Maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And then now. We watched it last week.
Yeah.
In preparation for this. One of the things that I not remembered... It was how much they use... I mean, it's all kind of garbled, but they kind of used this fairy lore.
Yeah.
Right? Because he mentions early on that he used to be, or he is, a shoemaker.
Yeah.
He's a cobbler. And so whenever he sees shoes that need cleaning, repair...
He gets a huge urge on cleaning those shoes.
Right. Like, he jumps on a person to clean their shoes, and then he's, like, putting all the shoes in the house... In order.
Yeah, and clean them all.
And
it's brought up, but it's never really used apart from like that one scene.
Well, they use it at... Well, you see it do it.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they start throwing shoes around. And he has to scramble for the shoes.
Yeah.
And that gives him the chance to kill him with a...
four-leaf clover.
The four-leaf clover.
Weakness, apparently.
Right.
I haven't checked my leprechaun lore information if four-leaf clovers actually are bad for leprechauns.
Well, are leprechauns really that... I mean, are they evil and... Like, they do make jokes about Lucky Charms in this.
Yeah, well, they have the fake... That's a great scene. They have a fake Lucky Charms box. It's not Lucky Charms. It's, like, something else. I forget what it says. But later he says Lucky Charms in reference to the cereal. So it's like...
They mentioned Lucky Charms a couple times. And that's when they kill him. They've got, like, that killer line.
Fuck you, Lucky Charms.
So, like, they avoided, like, being sued for using Lucky Charms, but I guess...
But they could use it verbally.
I guess Lucky Charms is just a thing, so you can say it.
Yeah. So, well, it seems to imply that Lucky Charms, that leprechaun, the cartoon leprechaun, that's not what leprechauns are. Leprechauns are...
Disgusting.
Mean spirits.
Disgusting little guys with rotten teeth. Clean your shoes.
Yeah. There's a lot of fairy lore where certain kinds of fairies can be confused.
I know that is part of the lore, catching a leprechaun. He will tell you where his pot of gold is, but I don't feel like he kills you usually.
He wasn't that. No, but they do. I mean, there are legends where, you know, fairies have to tress a horse's mane before they can enter your house, or they have to count rice on the floor, or salt grains, or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it felt like, okay, well, they actually did a little bit of research. I don't know what their source is, but they kind of did a little bit of research.
Yeah, because in the second movie, because this is not a weakness in the first one, but I know in the second movie, they had a weakness that he's iron hurts him.
Which is also a fairy thing.
Which is a fairy thing. Fairies hate iron. Just anything iron. That's how you catch them. So I think they put him in a safe, if I remember correctly, in the end, or...
Because in this one, he's locked in a wooden box.
With a four-leaf clover on top.
Right, so he can't open that up.
Yeah, apparently. Although it's weird, because later a guy says it needs to be like a fresh four-leaf clover. But that one in the crate must not be fresh after 10 years.
Yeah, he was asleep. Did he fall asleep?
Maybe.
And I was like, 10 years for him is
Yeah, whatever,
nothing.
It's a leprechaun. So
yeah.
A blink.
Right, so his gold has been stolen. He's trapped in a box. In that house, he killed the lady, and the guy who stole the gold and hid it has a stroke based on these events. Cut to 10 years later.
10 years later. That's where we get our character Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston and her dad show
her
up.
Her dad bought this house. They're from California. Her dad bought this house. Where is this taking place?
I think it's like in Idaho.
Yeah,
something like that.
Bought this random house in the desert. We're going to have a good time. Fixing this house.
And it's covered in cobwebs.
Yeah.
Like, every room. It's disgusting. So I agree with her that...
Yeah, no, like she's right.
She's unhappy until she notices that one of the painting crew... And we gotta talk about those painters. One of the painting crew is
called Three like, Guys That Paint.
Yeah, Three Guys That Paint. One of them is like Bargain Basement Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, he's like,
kind of looks like Kevin Bacon.
Discount Kevin Bacon.
Discount Kevin Bacon slash Mark Singer. And so he's buff. And so she decides to stick around because of the potential there. Yeah. And the other painters are, there's one mentally challenged man and a little kid. And they do the worst job I've ever seen. Actors or probably the set dressers.
Oh,
that's just like did that, splash that. I don't know if it's part of the joke.
Yeah, I don't know, because it's like that's perfect low budget movie making, because I think to show that they were painting, all these characters have splotches of paint all over them, but it's like, why?
Yeah.
Like,
and it's the wrong color depending.
Yeah,
and
it's very strange.
And the little bit they did does not look like anyone trying to paint a wall.
No.
At all. It's like if you were painting your Jackson Pollock, basically. Yeah. It makes no sense.
They're not doing the corners, not doing under, just like a few.
The house was going to be bright blue and bright red.
Bright blue, red shutters. Very strange.
Yeah, it's insane. And they keep having accidents with the paint. And the guy's walking around, like when she bumps into him, he has a bucket of turpentine.
We even talk about like her intro, where she's Jennifer Aniston, our girl, is introduced as like this Valley girl, L.A. Valley girl.
I guess that's what she is. I think she's had a career playing, my career. I mean, at this point, it's very early.
Yeah.
But if we look at Rachel Green, she played that 10 years. And after that, a lot of the roles were kind of like Rachel. And before that, I think the roles were kind of like Rachel as well.
I think this is definitely like a prototype Rachel.
Yeah.
Because she's like this L.A. girl, kind of spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's never determined if they're rich or not.
Well, she probably lives with her mom the rest of the year.
Yeah.
They're from L.A. She thinks all of this is grubby, gross.
And she has the money to just go in a hotel, because she that's her line throughout the movie.
Yeah, that she's going to go to a hotel, and she's just a teenager. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I guess she's spoiled, just like Rachel was. Rachel left a guy at the altar, joins the friends crew.
Yeah.
And she's kind of cut off by her parents, more or less, and so she has to slum it.
Okay.
But before that, she had a privileged life, is what we're supposed to understand.
That's pretty much her character in Leprechaun, so I'm starting to think that, like,
yeah,
this might just be Rachel Green.
Also the performance, because she's funny, but she's also kind of looking for love. So in Friends, it was a lot of will they, won't they.
Yeah, yeah.
Ross and Rachel.
Yeah, that thing.
That thing. Every decade has a...
They're a couple.
Couple, right? Sam and Diane.
Sam and Diane, Ross and Rachel, and...
2000s. Is it The Office? Is it already The Office?
Would it be Office?
I don't know when The Office started.
Pam and Jim?
Pam and Jim.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so every decade should have its own...
Yeah.
Will they, won't they. And that was the 90s. It ended like in 2004, so...
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so it you know, it's kind of straddles.
Yeah, I'd say that this is like a proto Rachel. Yeah. Kind of bratty, but also thinks everything is gross.
Like, she thinks the circumstance is terrible.
Yeah.
She could be very annoying because she rejects everything her dad. But her dad is also is like, he's working from a horror script.
Her dad
so
is,
it makes no sense that he wants this out.
The chillest guy in the world.
Yeah.
He has like three lines and disappears from the movie.
After the leprechaun.
Yeah.
Bites his hand.
Because the first scene is like, oh, it'll be okay. And then after that, it's just like...
Okay, let's go home.
All right, let's go home. Never mind. And then gets his hand cut open and you never see him again.
You're right. He's not there at the end of the movie.
No,
So we're left with the kids having to solve the problem, which is a horror. Yeah.
That's the weird thing about this movie, too. It's very much of the... What is the demographic for this movie?
There doesn't need to be a demographic because this is the work of auteur Mark Jones. Right?
Okay.
He directed this movie. He wrote this movie. He didn't do a whole lot more.
I wonder why.
I mean, he's credited on every Leprechaun movie because he invented the...
He has a character.
Yeah.
Living off those royalties.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a whole lot. But I felt like this was unusual enough that I want to call him auteur Mark Jones. Right. Because who makes this movie? Who makes a movie like this?
Yeah, it's strange because it does feel like a kid's movie because the kid...
There's a kid, first of all.
And the mentally challenged guy. Honestly, it feels like they couldn't find another kid, so they just cast an adult and said, you're mentally challenged.
Yeah, you're going to be the other kid.
Those two should be like two kids, and the older love interest should be like their dad. Because I don't know what the hell is this relationship. Whose kid is that? who's...
He's the little brother of... There seems to be no parent.
No, there's no parent.
So he's being raised by his older brother.
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon.
They have a bad paint company.
So it's Bargain Basement, Kevin Bacon, Bargain Basement, Chris Farley, and a kid. And the kids find the gold, and then shenanigans ensue, right? The leprechaun sort of attacks them. But I called this early on, a feminist movie.
I don't think I'd go there.
I will go there, because Jennifer Aniston is... nominally the star of this. Like, she's the one that takes charge. That's why you don't think there's much of a relationship there. So their first meeting, though there is an attraction, and she sort of acts on it.
He seems oblivious to it.
And also, he treats her in a very sexist way, and she reacts like, look, buddy, a woman in the 90s can do this, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So she has, like, this feminist statement, and then later, she's not the damsel in distress.
It's funny because it does feel a part like, yeah, feminism, but also it does feel like his character is more of a middle America going, see this big LA people? This lady doesn't eat meat.
Yeah.
Because she's from LA and that weird and the weird line where he like points out, your shoe's made of leather. That's a cow. All right, weird anti-vegan message.
Auteur Mark Jones is taking pot shots at everybody, right?
And also, my other weird casting theory, it doesn't feel like she should be the main character, but I think that guy was just so bad as an actor that she became a bigger role.
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. I got the feeling because that guy is so bad.
Well, to me, it felt...
Is it just me?
Well... Is it her star power that just ate up everything else?
Yeah, he's so wooden.
Like, is she enough of a big star in this? Like, not, obviously she wasn't cast as a big star.
No.
But did she have it going on enough that the director went, let me rewrite a little of this or a little of that?
Maybe, because it does feel like when it should be him, he's just so wooden as an actor that she takes over the scene.
Because he's taken out.
Yeah.
Not early, but he's taken out by a bear trap.
Yeah, he gets his leg cut up.
So then suddenly he's limping around. The two kids are kids. The dad is in the hospital. So she becomes the heroine of this. She's the Ripley.
Yeah.
She's the Sarah Connor. Young Sarah Connor Chronicles, starring Jennifer Aniston.
Again, I don't want to go as far as calling her a Sarah Connor. But...
How else am I going to be controversial?
Yeah, I guess so.
A lot of horror movies, it's a heroine fighting back against the monsters. That's true of a lot of the franchises.
Although the hero in the end is, Ozzy, the Chris Farley, discount Chris Farley. He saves the day in the end. Yeah, he tricks him at the end.
Right? Okay, yeah.
He, for some reason, ate a gold coin.
Yeah, he swallowed one. He was biting on it to see if it was real.
Yeah, and he swallowed by mistake. Mm-hmm. As you do.
As you do.
So then that keeps the plot open because they think at one point, all right, let's give the gold to the leprechaun so he'll leave us alone.
End it. Yeah.
It worked. But then, Ozzy has a gold coin in his tummy.
Because of that core four, to use the Scream, the recent Scream terminology, the core four walk out of this unharmed.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the dad is just in the hospital. So there are, like in this first installment of the franchise, there aren't a lot of deaths.
No, the people they kill are just like side characters.
Yeah, cop.
He kills a cop. He kills the store owner, studying one of
There's a pawn shop owner who's studying one of the coins, and he gets it.
Yeah.
And even that, I felt, was a little ambiguous as to whether or not he died.
No, he died. He got pogo stick to death.
Is that the best death? Who got the best death?
As the pogo stick.
I think that's it's
the more ridiculous one.
Yeah.
Because the other ones are pretty straightforward, where you, like, the cop, he just grabs his face. That's the one, I think.
Yeah, and then he snaps his neck. Like, the cop runs into the woods, and...
Snaps his neck.
He jumps on him from a tree.
Yeah.
The lady at the beginning...
Pushes her downstairs.
Yeah, she just breaks her neck.
That's a neck breaking, huh? That's why he becomes magical in the next movies. I think they're like, okay, we can't just have him break necks anymore. Because they do the gag of a gold piece in his stomach again in one of the other movies where he makes his pot of gold appear in some guy's stomach.
Because I thought for sure when Ozzy ate the gold, I thought, well, he's dead because they're going to do an alien...
I think they should have.
You know, like Leprechaun breaks out of his stomach or something.
That's why I think they put it in the sequel. They're like, oh, we should have... We have more budget now, so maybe let's do this.
Right, because it's not that gory.
No.
There's blood, but...
It's pretty tame compared to... other stuff coming out this time. Although in the 90s, it was not as bloody because the censors were going wild.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
When was the best time for gore?
The 80s, of course.
The 80s are just like...
No, the 80s were crazy, but then the censors got their radar on Friday the 13th and stuff, and so you couldn't do anything. Even the later Friday the 13ths are, like, cut up. Like, all the gore scenes are very, like... You'll see a knife and a cut and the person's dead instead.
You would get an X, an NC-17 or whatever.
Yeah, it would be so easy to get NC-17 back in that day. So for a while, stuff became tame.
Hmm. If this wasn't tame, I don't know that it would be a good vehicle for even a young Jennifer Aniston.
No.
Like Jennifer Aniston in Saw, you know?
Like, I wonder why she, not that she had a choice at this point, but like...
Well, she thought this was...
Yeah, she did. I did see a few interviews. She's like, this was her big break, I guess. Probably kind of right. I don't know.
I don't know, because the next year, she was, you know, after this, I remember seeing her on Quantum Leap.
Oh.
She had like a guest spot. Everybody's going to remember who watched Quantum Leap. There's an episode where he's a Vietnam vet who is a double amputee, but Sam can walk because he's actually in his own body, just like seeming to be this other guy. And she's the nurse. She's the nurse love interest to that. Oh. So that's a like a famous episode. So Jennifer Aniston's in that. And then suddenly she's on Friends, basically. And
well, yeah, if you say Friends, it started in 94. They must have filmed during that year and Leprechaun came out in 93. It must have been like a whirlwind year for her. Like, did Leprechaun, that came out, probably started filming Friends that same year that came out, and then her career's off.
So. And you're right, it's unlikely that this was the audition reel.
No.
You know, that this was, I did Leprechaun and so I got Friends. No, no.
Yeah. I don't know if this was a hit, because I know it made money, but probably just because it was low budget. I think it was made for like a $1 million.
So it remade, it's made, it made,
oh, yeah, like it made its money pretty fast, but back then in the 90s, it was the VHS sales more than anything.
So we don't know that this,
no,
this carried her forward.
I don't think so.
It just becomes like this odd thing.
I think she probably got Friends without.
She probably was doing auditions before this came out.
Yeah. You're going to look at her two sitcom tapes before you pop in your Leprechaun VHS to see if it's good.
But we can talk a little bit about this phenomenon, I guess, but a lot of people start out in the horror genre.
Yeah, horror is a good training ground. It's low budget, so that's where you start out.
You know, they get actors that are cheap.
You can't afford stars. Like, we were talking about Warwick Davis, a star, but he probably didn't charge a lot.
He wasn't charging Tom Cruise prices.
Yeah, no.
A lot of your horror things, you want like that one star who's going to have maybe what, like one scene or... Stuff like that.
Yeah, the thing was, like, the main kids were nobodies, and if you had a star, a name, it was just, like, an old person
right.
in the movie, you know?
A David Carradine coming back.
Type of thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Bela Lugosi in the Ed Wood films, right? Something like that. So, it's like, you look at it today, she's the biggest star there, but obviously Warwick Davis was the name attached. And for her, in those interviews, she says, it's like, this was a movie with Warwick Davis.
Yeah, no, at the time, it must have been pretty exciting.
You know?
Today, even though they're not the same star level.
No.
At all.
They're both recognizable names.
You can probably find Warwick Davis at a horror convention. You will not find Jennifer Aniston at the same conventions.
I don't think she does.
No.
I don't think she'd do conventions at her level.
No.
Because we didn't talk, you know, she was also like in some high profile love affairs off screen. We didn't talk about that, but that really raised her profile.
Was she?
Wasn't she with Brad Pitt or something?
Oh, right. Bennifer, right? Or Bradifer?
I don't know. Those are the kinds of things I don't care about.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
So I'm just mentioning it out there.
Because the 90s. I was a kid. I don't remember.
I was alive. And I was just... I'm not interested in Hollywood gossip, but I mentioned it in case somebody wants to attack us in the comments. Like, what about that?
Yeah.
Yes, it did happen. There's some high profile...
There you go, comments.
Aren't you glad we mentioned...
Yeah, that old hot mo crew's going to be like, yeah, she dated this guy.
Yes, exactly. The Ohatmu crew, for them, we do mention it. But at least from those interviews, it seems like she doesn't regret it. She doesn't poo-poo it.
No, that's rare because a lot of actors deny
that they did it.
Yeah.
Because we can name a lot of people. Like, well, I mentioned Kevin Bacon here, but he was in the
Bacon's
first...
Friday
the 13th. It's not his first movie, but close.
Yeah, it's pretty early.
Yeah, so and Leonardo DiCaprio would be a great topic for this.
Yeah.
Critters 3?
Critters 3, I think.
Yeah.
They all blend together.
I guess. But, there's a lot of these big actors.
Johnny Depp and Nightmare.
Of course. That's one of the famous ones.
Matthew McConaughey and Texas Chainsaw 3.
Wow. You know, it happens a lot. So once they do that, sometimes it's like, I did it for the money. I did it for the experience. But some of them don't like to talk about those movies.
Jared Leto has an amazing story of, like, someone asking him about, what's he in? It was in Urban Legend, I think. He asked him, like, how was the filming with that? I was like, I don't remember filming that. I was like, oh, maybe that's a recent interview and he doesn't remember this movie from the 90s. No, this was an interview the year after. That guy forgot a movie he did a year before. Like,
so did he forget it or conveniently forget it?
He was, like, ashamed of a movie, like, a year after. Like, weird vibe from that guy.
Yeah.
Glad Morbius bombed.
Well, if you ask Jared Leto today, he doesn't remember filming Morbius. So when all is said and done, we have to ask. Based on this movie alone, is Jennifer Aniston a star in the making? Can we tell that she's going to go on to bigger and better things when you look at her performance here? Her charisma, her presence?
Honestly, it's kind of hard to be like, yes. Because she's just playing like a typical 90s Valley girl. I don't think she's bringing anything that specific or star-making from this.
Well, obviously it didn't make her a star.
I think she is the best actor in the movie. I think she shines through that. But I think that's more of everyone else being kind of bad in this.
Okay.
Especially that boyfriend character. I feel he's just so... He has like... I don't know. Every line reading, it feels like so... I think he's playing that cool type, but oof.
Well, all three painters.
They don't sell it.
All three painters.
I don't know. Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, also, is Leprechaun a good example of a Jennifer Aniston movie?
That's more you.
Okay. Well...
That's more you.
I'll say yes.
Yeah?
Well, not in terms of genre. This is not a genre that she revisited. Obviously, it's got limitations that some of the other movies don't. But... In terms of her performance, like we said, this is like proto-Rachel Green. There are things she does in this movie already that she's going to do for the next 10 years as Rachel and in the next however many, 15, 20 years in other performances later. The sort of comic business that she does, stopping short, like being surprised at something and the faces she makes. I've seen that 100 times as Rachel. You know, it's like kind of stuff that Rachel does and that other comic characters that she has do.
So what you're saying, it's pretty impressive that she had her...
She already had her persona
from...
Yeah, she had a persona already. I think that's her screen persona.
30 years ago, she was like, this is...
That's what she
this
is.
This is it.
She's sort of the girl next door, but she's too pretty for that. So it's like, she's the...
Hot girl next
She's
door.
The girl two doors down. Okay. Right? She's the cheerleader.
Okay, yeah.
She's a cheerleader who's grown up, and now she's this.
Oh.
And this being Rachel Green and, you know, and Friends, but... It's always kind of like if she's on autopilot and just using her comic persona. What we saw in Leprechaun is exactly kind of what we saw in Murder Mystery 2, which came out in 2023.
So she should do another Leprechaun.
I think that if they want to resurrect the... I guess they don't need to resurrect it, but if they want to, you know, make it one of these... You know, let's bring it back, but as a elevated...
This time, there's two Leprechauns, Warwick Davis and Peter Dinklage.
Okay, and Jennifer Aniston's back.
Yeah.
And she's playing this hardcore Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween.
Playing a, traumatized...
Right, the traumatized... Well...
The traumatized badass.
She sort of came out of this not too traumatized. Weird. Like, she hasn't been terrorized by a leprechaun all this time.
No, it was a night.
I think she shows up. There's like these new kids. She shows up and she's like, she's got like a gun that shoots four-leaf clovers, you know? And she's like, move over, kids. I've seen this before. Knock, knock, you know?
See, let's get a prestige leprechaun movie. Made.
You know, in time for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Because I was surprised that this did not reference St. Patrick's Day. Like it feels like it should be part of a Halloween, not a Halloween, but a holiday type marathon.
Yeah.
But it's not St. Patrick's or anything.
No, they don't even mention it at all.
No, I don't think it is.
I might be wrong, but from what the ones I've seen, I think the second one is the only one that takes place on St. Patrick's Day.
That's the one in Las Vegas?
No, Vegas is the third one.
Okay, the second one is L.A.
Is L.A., and he, if I remember right, he needs to find a bride on St. Patrick's Day to marry for... fairy creature reasons.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Again, it's been a while. Don't quote me on this.
Yeah. Okay. Then we won't.
Yeah.
But I mean, after all this time, they're still trying to bring some leprechaun lore, and there isn't that much.
Yeah.
Like, what's in the first movie? They do the rainbow.
Yeah, the rainbow only has three colors. See, this is low budget.
Rainbow, you've got your part of gold, you got references to Lucky Charms.
Even the location is this is a low budget location. Like, it's a desert.
It's just in the backs of
California. It's not a very leprechaun-y location. Because even the film starts, the guy trapped the leprechaun.
And then brought him to America. He's like,
I just came back from Ireland, which you did not see, but I captured a leprechaun, which you did not see. But he's in America now.
And he's going to start
killing
people.
I will not tell my wife that I have a leprechaun in the suitcase. Because that's what I want to know, because this guy was real trouble throughout the movie. How did the guy in the beginning catch him?
Right. We need a prequel.
Yeah, give me a prequel.
We need a prequel, and Jennifer Aniston comes back as Sarah Connor in the...
She time travels.
Time traveling back. Yeah, okay. All right, well, thanks for talking leprechauns with me, Marty.
No problem.
Hope you get to your pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And I'm sure we'll have you again on Siskoid Cinema. I mean, you're a movie buff. You're in my core four of moviegoers.
Yeah, we see movies every week.
Every week at the theater. Siskoid Cinema's Fade In is a proud member of the Fire & Water Podcast Network. So if you're listening to this and have your own opinions on what we've discussed, please feel free to head over to fireandwaterpodcast.com to leave a comment. I'll read them on our next episode. And if you like this content, think about visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/FW podcasts. So until our next episode, this is Siskoid fading away. Sign offs are hard.
The hardest part.
I really thought I'd arrived when I did Leprechaun. I mean, it was with Warwick Davis, the guy from Willow, was in it. Big deal.
Yeah.